Sicherlich muss Avi Murray Jacobi so Pilter sicherlich muss Daniela Shane was your show follow. Okay. So we are holding now by Shabbos HaGadol. And Parshas Tzav usually is Shabbos HaGadol. So just a couple of things regarding Shabbos HaGadol leading us into Pesach. So number one, you know, I have this chus to be collect staka several times a year for various things, Chevret Staka v'Chesed, Williamsburg. And it's interesting to see, someone was asking me in the elevator yesterday, you know, the different patterns. When do people give more? When do people give less? For so I said to him, I see Matonis Lavionim, you know, it's a chiv. So people usually give more for that. But most chitim is just a minhag. So, you know, sometimes people give less than that, even though the people really need more for most chitim, because today most chitim, you know, became a thing, you know, not just the chitim, but all the tzrachim of Pesach. So it's interesting. The Matonis Levyonim is a chiyuv. Most chitim is just a minig. That's why the poskim say that you can take most chitim from meiser money, right? Because the Magen Avraham says when it comes to matonis lavyonim, so that's a chiyuv. And the Gemara says in Chagiga, ein dover shebechova ba'el menachulim, that something is a chiyuv, so you can't take it from the money that you know the meiser money, but something that's just a minhag that you could take from the meiser money. So
Rabbi, on Matasi Yonim, there's also a shear,
right?
So it's that's why I think people give less or they give more on Pesach.
They
give
more
no shear.
No, that's saying they give more on. People usually give. I don't know. A lot of times, people give more on Purim because they. Because there's an obligation of Purim. Maybe in your circles you find differently that people are giving more for Pesach. But
yeah. Well, also maybe the Gaboyim try harder for Pesach to collect more. I mean, that's for sure. Okay, I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, it's okay. So, but one halacha is that Matonis Levionim doesn't come from Meiser money, but Moschi, because it's a Chova, and a Chova has to come in a Chulin, the Gemara says in Chagiga. But Ma'os Chitim is a minhag, so then it could even come from Meiser money. So that calls the post can point out that Matonis Lavionim, once you gave your obligation, so then it's not a chiv anymore, and then even Matonis Lavionim could come min ha Meiser. But Ma'os Chitim, the whole thing is a minhag. And the Vilna Gaon, you know, used to point out that the pasuk says matzos he ochel, matzos should be eaten. That's a remez to this minhag. It's a remez to this minhag of that you should facilitate the eating of matzos. Matzos he ochel should be eaten. So the Vilna Gaon says that even though that's not the simple trad of the pasuk, but it's a remez. This man from Brooklyn, Rav Eliezer Ginsburg, always used to collect the why you used to say that remez, that matzos he ochel is the remez that one has to facilitate the eating of matzos. And how do you facilitate the eating of matzos? By collecting. But it's really just a minute. But it's interesting that, you know, the fact that he looks for a remez, you know, Rav Shecht always says from Rav Soloveitchik that Salvation's opinion is that a minig also has to have a cheshivas. In other words, you can't just have a minhag that doesn't have any source or anything just because somebody does something that doesn't make it a minhag. Just recently, in the past 2 weeks, I had different cases of people wanting to be Matineder, you know, someone wanted to be matir neder for gebroks, meaning that they normally didn't eat gebroks because that's what they were told was their minhag in the family, and wasn't so clear where it came from, this minhag. And again, you know, I believe very strongly to be very, you know, that minhagim are very something that's very, very chashuv, and we shouldn't just, you know, somebody asked me this week about, you know, kitnios, like Rav Abadi points out, that kitnios really is batel barov. Yet we still don't give, you know, but the kosher Pesach ones won't allow any kitnios in them. Well, that's what Rav Schefter mentioned in the OU. They don't rely on bittel, meaning even though halachically bittel is permissible, that's a din, right? But at least I think Rav Schefter mentioned in the OU, they have there's din and there's policy, and the policy is that when they give you a hashgacha, they want you to, because they're telling you that everything is 100%. Now, bittul is also 100%. Fakir, the post can discuss if you don't rely on bittul, maybe you're not bikkuris, because you don't rely on bittul. You know, maybe you're not bikkuris because there's a din, there's a pasuk of chumash bittul that you know, the thing. And this week's parsha is one of the sources is bittul by Acharei Rabbi Mlhatos, is bittul by you know, so there is a concept of bittul. So if you don't follow bittul, you know, one that's not called a chumra. That might be kfira, that you're not relying on bittul. But Rav Schefter mentioned the kashrus organ in, like in the OU, they're telling you we're putting on a stempel on this that it's OU or OUP. We're telling you that this is 100%. That there's no treif ingredients in it, and even though the treif ingredients sometimes might be mutter because of bittul, but that's a din in policy. In other words, there's kashrus and there's policy. In other words, so kashrus is what's the halacha, and policy is even if the halacha is mutter, we still might as a policy, or you know, also telling the people that what we're doing, we're gonna have it 100% without any question, because and that's the so, right. So minhagim, you know, but as Ravadi pointed out, the kidneys already could be bottle Barov, right? You don't even need, you might not even need shishim, but the kashrus organizations are not going to give a hechsher on, say, the corn syrup and things like that, even though it might be bottle, because there is kidneys in it. So they're not going to tell you, oh, well, halachically it's still mutter. They're going to tell you, only going to give their shtempel, like Rav Schefter pointed out from the OU, if it's 100% that there's nothing in there. This year, my wife just showed me that there's a run for a kosher Pesach for ketchup, Heinz ketchup. That's kosher Pesach. Rav Abadi always used to say that it's always good, but we didn't have a hechsher on it, so we wouldn't use it, but we wouldn't throw it away either. We just put it aside, but now they have maybe something that doesn't have anything in it, you know, and has a hechsher on it, on the Heinz ketchup. So you have to check out your Heinz ketchup when you, you know, I particularly didn't mind the other ketchup, you know, the Pesadika ketchup, but some people, you know, like after their brands that they're always, that I was used to. So kidneys, like, is a minhag, but is a very strong minhag. It's a very strong minhag Ashkenaz, and just like you say, most chitim is a minhag. So kidneys also as a minhag. It's interesting that Pesach has a lot of minhagim because, the idea is that Pesach is higata de labincha. It's all about transmitting Mesorah. And there's a vort that's said over from Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. He says, today, even the Torah Shebichsav was, Torah Shebaal Peh was written down. So what's the real Torah Shebaal Peh today? It's minhagim. It's minhagim. That's the real Torah Shebaal Peh. And minhagim are important, but sometimes there is a concept of Hataras Nedarim for minhagim. So this fellow came to me and he said, he was not sure whether is it a real family minhag that they had a real Masorah, or is it just somehow it's got in the so and he's going to his other, so he just got married and the in-laws are taking him to hit their brother and they're gonna have so I discussed it with Rabbi Blythe. He thought we could do Hataras Nedarim. But when you do Hataras Nedarim, you have to have a charata. You have to mischarit on something. Now, if you remember the way you say it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Ein ani mischarit al advarim hatovim shasis, right? I'm not. So how do you have a charata? So the post can point out, you're right. You're not supposed to have a charata on the good things you did. Even the good things of chumras, he's not supposed to have a charata. So what are you mischarit on? You know what you mischarit on? The poskim say you're mischarit that you didn't say b'li neder. That you didn't say b'li neder. You're not mischarit that you did it. That's very good that you did it. And it might be because when it comes to gebrach, so the question is maybe part of the flour was not totally baked, and therefore now you're going to put it in water, and that could cause Hametz. So that's how the minhag became. But he says, so this fellow, so I discussed with Rabbi Blythe, he thought that there's grounds that he should could be matir neder. So we matir neder and we discussed this charata. That's not again that he's mischarit that he did it, because maybe he did it, he just did it because this is what he was taught he should do. Because that's what his father did, because that's what his grandfather did, etc. But it wasn't so clear where it really came from and the other family. So there was what to talk about. So we were mischarid, but we made sure to say that that not that you mischarid or what you did. You mischarid shelo ar marti b'li neder. That's the karak.
So, Rabbi, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, Bali Tshuvas. So, this is a Yeke. He goes to yeshiva, and everybody's keeping 6 hours, and then he's learning, and he discovers that as a Yeke, he would only have to hold three. So he doesn't have to do the Torah. I mean, I heard. I'm not asking a shaila, but I heard that he doesn't have to do the Torah Nedarim. Once he realizes this, he can go ask the Rav. The Rav told him, "Now's your time to pick. You have this opportunity if you." Want to follow your Masorah of being a Yekke, you can hold 3 hours. If not, you're going to hold like everybody else in Yeshiva 6. So he
Yeah.
doesn't have to do the Torah Nedarim for that. That's what I was told. Is that correct?
Yeah. So right. So right. There's a question of Hataras Nedarim. If you didn't know what your real thing was, you did it out of a mistake.
Same thing with a Sephardi who ends up in an Ashkenazi Yeshiva Baal Tshuva, and then he realized he could have rice. He doesn't, And I'm
Right.
just
So
saying,
that. Right.
these are instances where I don't think he has to do Nataras Darn.
Right. So that's a question whether there's. If there's a mistake, neder b'taos.
Ravadia has a tshuva. It's in the Chavadas about somebody who didn't eat. He didn't say gebracht, but shruya doesn't eat
Sure.
shruya because he thought it was usser, and then he realized it's not usser. It's just a minig in that, right? And then he and then.
Right, so that's a question whether there's
Because he
yeah.
wasn't out there, so.
Okay, so these are a certain minhagim. So again, we said moschitim is a minhag, and therefore it could come even from Maaser Mani. Matanis Lavyonim is not a minhag. Matanis Lavyonim was a chova, and therefore it shouldn't come to Maaser Mani. But once the post can point out that once you gave the amount of matosli and avionim that you're bechuyev to give, then you're going to, and you want to give even more. So then, yeah, that you could take from the meiser money because that's not a chiven. But the maos chitim, the whole thing is just a minhag, but it's a minhag that's a very, you know, chosh of a minhag, and we should all, you know, be involved in this minhag of maos chitim of, and today it became not just a chitim, but all the needs that people have for yontif. And then we said, a minig, sometimes you could have a taras nadarim on a minig, but again, a taras nadarim is not that you did the minig because you might have done something good. But you're mischaret, you know, that you didn't say ali neve. That's because whenever you do an hagatova, you do something proper and you're thinking of continuing it. So even if you didn't articulate it, then it's like a minhag tov, and a minhag tov is like a neder. Minhag tov is like a neder. Simple pshat, the Gemara says, and the Darbs of Shekel pointed out, it's only a neder b'drabanan. If you actually articulate something that you're taking a neder, that's a daraisa. If you don't articulate, that's only a drabanan according to most opinions. This week's parsha, we also have a little bit of the halachas of Hechsher Kalim. A little bit of the halachas of Hechsher Kalim. Shayyam Sar Yikdash, Vicharis Shover, Morph Shur Mayim. So we know that when it comes to Hechsher Kalim, so, there's a concept of Liban and the concept of Hagala. If something comes directly on the fire, you do Liban, you have to kasher it by directly on the fire. And Hagala, something you cooked in water, so you kasher it in water. So in today's society, so we have a lot of ovens. So ovens is one of the discussions of how you should kasher an oven. So there were poskim that required, you know, liban on an oven to take a blowtorch and actually go around the oven with a blowtorch. Those are the people that when I see them at shul on the first day of Pesach have their arm in a sling because they use those blowtorches. So I'm not from the blowtorch people. As I've said many times, the less fire, the better. And so what's the vort here? The vort over here in the cloud, in some poskim hold that's brought down in the Klach Shel Ezov, he says like this, that today our ovens are different than the ovens of yesteryear. What's the main difference? You see, the ovens that they're talking about that really need the full-fledged thing, if so, is when the dough goes directly on the oven, right? So the dough goes directly on the oven, so then it's a direct blia on the oven. So then we go ahead and we have to kasher the oven in a direct form of liban. But today, our ovens today, usually we don't put the food directly. Even the chametz, we don't put it directly on the oven. We put it in a pan or a tray or something like that. And at worst, what happens is the condensation, you know, from the oven, the zeya, goes up, right? But the food doesn't get directly on the, in other words, it's not like a, you know, like I guess we call a pizza oven or something like that, where the chametz gets directly on, the dough gets directly on the floor of the oven. Today, you know, the Gemara has Rediyas HaPas, that they used to have the dough directly. So if the dough is directly, that's much more chomer. But But when it's not direct, so at worst, it's only steam, if that even. So then poskim hold that you don't need to do that full form of, so if you turn on the oven high, you know, even if it's not self clean, and since it didn't go directly on the oven, that would be sufficient to kasher your oven.
But that's different if you have like a broiler and you put stuff on the broiler, then you put it directly on the oven.
Right. But a broiler could be different. But I'm taking a regular oven that we have today, we usually don't put food directly. You put food on the in the tin and in the thing, you know, and even that is a question whether ovens have Zayah today anyway. Because the Rush writes that the ovens today are so hot that it doesn't, the Zayah doesn't get to the top of the oven because it burns up in on its way up. So there might not even be any Zayah in the oven today. Rav Moshe was very into the Zayahs and the ovens, and he was into all, he was very machmir when it came to ovens, Rav Moshe. But others, Rav Tzion Vosner wrote an old tshuva about this and about it also, that the ovens today might not even have any din of Zayah. So we're still being machmir to kasher them for kashrus and for Pesach. But you wouldn't necessarily need to use a blowtorch like that, because the thing's not going directly. The dough isn't, the chametz isn't going directly on the floor or on the top of the oven. It's all, at worst, as I said, a condensation, and that would be much more lenient than the ovens that, you know, or like today, like what we call a pizza oven today, where they put the dough directly on the floor of the oven, and therefore that would be a direct contact, and they would put right out any water. And then there is a discussion in the poskim about frying pans. What's the story with frying pans? Because of frying pans, what's the story with frying pans? So you have, so it's not like cooking with water. It's not like a, like you cook a piece of chicken in water. It's not like that. On the other hand, it's not totally dry either. There's some oil. So there's a question whether frying pan requires liban, or does frying pan need a hagol? So the Shulchan Aruch says like this: if you have a non-kosher frying pan and you have to kasher it, you should do libun, and libun there is going to be a chomerdik libun, because there a frying pan, you're making French toast on Sunday morning French toast. So then, or somebody, you know, cook chazer in a frying pan. So then that's direct contact. So that's the most chomer dukkah thing, is the direct contact. But when you're doing it, but the question is, the ovens, we put some oil in the ovens. So, you know, well, not the ovens, the frying pans. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you kasher from treif to kosher for a frying pan, you have to do libun. You have to do it, you know, with the chomerdik away. But if you're kashering for Pesach, you can be more tal. You can be more lenient, because Pesach, before Pesach, Pesach is called, you know, Pesach is, there's an opinion, is whether Pesach is, we hold Pesach needs Liban, but there's a Shita that says that Pesach is, since it's mutter the rest of the year,
and therefore
you would only need Hagala or Liban Kal. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you can be more lenient on the Hechsher for frying pans for Pesach with Haggalah, or in other words, there's a concept of Haggalah, you know, to put it in the water. And then the poskim say that anything that's Haggalah is also a substitute for Haggalah is Libun Kal, is a lower form of fire, is also instead of Haggalah. So for the frying pans, you have, like Rav Shechter mentioned from the Vilna Gaon, the other poskim, that frying pan might not only need Haggalah because it has the oil, and even if it needs Liban, but there's an opinion that says that it's not trafin in essence because it's mutter the rest of the year, and therefore would be more lenient. So that's the difference so we're more machmir for the frying pans on for treif, as opposed to, because treif is for sure isur bala, you know, and it's more direct, and so therefore you need to do libun, and then so that libun, if you know, might, you know, might, some might hold you should actually use a blowtorch, or maybe you can put it in the oven, or something like that, so because that's different than the ovens today. Because the ovens today, as we said, are not direct contact with the dough, but the frying pan is direct contact. When you're making French toast, it goes directly on the frying pan. The Dalet Kosos is one of the important parts of the Seder. Sometimes people get a little not well from the Dalet Kosos. The Gemara says that there was a certain Rav that he would have the Dalet Kosos on Pesach, and he would have a headache till Shavuos. So technically speaking, the Dalet Kosos, the best thing obviously is to have wine. You don't have to have a huge amount. You have to have a rov kos of wine. Is much better than grape juice, if you could. The minhag is to have red wine. So I like to have Movasya, the red Moscato type of thing, the Movasya. So that's, it's low, it's not the high, amount of alcoholic content, but it's enough to be, in wine. It's not grape juice, it's wine. It's interesting that the post can say that technically speaking, you can even have Chamar Medina for Dalet Kosos. So, meaning one could put an argument that you can have the Dalet Kosos with coffee. You have 4 cups of coffee. If you're a person that can't have the wine, you can't have the grape juice, and you hold that, kosher l'Pesach, parv coffee. And to me, I think that, because if you hold, some posts can hold that Chamar Medina has to be dafka intoxicating. So if you hold like that, so we assume that coffee is not intoxicating. But if you hold, but the simple pshat of Chamar Medina is people serve it to you. When somebody comes to your house, I don't know the last time that someone came to your house and you gave them grape juice, or you give them a cup of coffee. That's the drink of the land, is a cup of coffee. So that Malkum Tzorach, that could be something that. But there's an interesting discussion in the last year's Kol HaTorah, this journal from Europe. That we know the Sfardim and Ashkenazim have an interesting machlokas. The Sfardim, the Ashkenazim make 4 brachas on the Dalai Kosa. So Bar Pir Gofen and everything. And that's the Ashkenazim Rebbe. Ashkenazim do four brachas. The Sfarim only do two, on the first and the third. Because why should you make four brachas, right? You should only make two brachas, because you have the first bracha of a Kiddush, and then till you bench is all covered. And then after benching, you'll make another one, right? So that's the Sfarim make a lot of sense. The first cup and the third cup. That's when you make a bracha, and the rest you don't make any bracha. That's the Sfarim. Ashkenazim make an everything. Rav Shechter pointed out, and Rav Shlomo Zalman has this, because we considered each of the kosas as a separate mitzvah, and therefore each mitzvah gets its own bracha, because Bari Pir Gofen is the chashivas of, you know, we make a Bari Pir Gofen not just on the drinking of a wine during the week, but on the mitzvah, the fact that, like Rav Shechter pointed out, certain mitzvahs have wine with the mitzvah. But it's interesting, and in this Kovetz Kol HaTorah from last year, he has a discussion, what if you're drinking Chamar Medina? Would you also make, according to the Ashkenazim, would you also make four brachas? Or since you're not making Bar Miyagofen anyway, so then maybe you follow the, so therefore you don't have the chashivas of the Bar Miyagofen, and therefore you would only make two brachas. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a discussion, and others have a discussion on this. Because maybe the concept of four brachas is only when you're actually making the Bar Piyagofen. If you're not making the Bar Piyagofen, even Ashkenazim, Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses the possibility that even Ashkenazim maybe should only make two brachas. But usually we're making on wine, and most people then would not use wine, they'll use grape juice. Even though grape juice is a question, Bisman has said that the grape juice is pasteurized and maybe can't become, intoxicating. So the minig became that we make a Bari Pir Gofen on grape juice too. I try to avoid that whenever I can. When I go away, if I go away for a place like in the mountains that might not have wine, I'll bring my own wine. It's not to have to make it on grape juice. So if you can avoid grape juice, it's that's the better thing. Not even to mix with the, if you can, but to have the wine, again, you don't have to have a wine that has 12%, you know what I mean? You know, because you have 12%, you'll be knocked out by the first course. You have to have lower percent. That's why the whole year I like Moscato, but we have a minute on Pesach to have wine, so I go from Moscato to Malvasia. But I never had the famous question, I think it was with one of the Briskers. There's a famous question that he once asked, was it Beis Halevi maybe, whether they could, or the Brisker, one of the Briskers was asked, could you use milk for the dalakosas? So then he raised a lot of money for him, because he's saying, if he's asking milk, that means he's not having meat at a Seder either. Right? So that's the question. Is milk considered the Chamar Medina or not? So, but I think if you're holding that you don't need an intoxicating thing, then coffee, is the best, probably the best Chamar Medina. That's why some poskim hold that you can even make Kiddush Shabbos morning, especially for women, on coffee. In other words, they want to have a cup of coffee anyway, so that could be their Kiddush. That could be the Kiddush Shabbos morning on coffee, because that's Chamar Medina. Oh, so let me end with one vort from the Chasam Sofer on the book of the Manishtana. So he says a beautiful vort, the Chasam Sofer. He says a lot, everything he says beautiful. He says, Manishtana halayla hazem kol halaymus. Why is this night different than all the other nights? Shekhol halayos anuch ochlim chametz u'matzah, halayla hazek u'lo matzah. So the question is, what's the difference between this night and the other nights? It should say, what's the difference between this night and the rest of the year? It's not a din the other nights. It's a din what we do the rest of the year. The rest of the year, we eat kol mitzvah matzah. It's not specifically at night. It was this night we eat only matzah. The rest of the, we'll just say, the rest of the year, we eat kol mitzvah matzah. What's the difference between this night and the other nights? So he says like this, that the night, the word night here, allegorically, refers to Golus. Golus is the time of night. And the things, so he says like this, when Jews are in Golus, they're two things. So they have to be subordinate to whoever the government is in that locale, right? Because, you know, that's what you have to do. You're subordinate to the Golus, to the Memshala of the Golus. But on the other hand, in Golus, we have to have pride that we're Jewish. And we can't lose that pride of us being Yidden and being able to keep the mitzvahs. So he says, B'chol Halelos, and all the other exiles, besides the Golus Mitzrayim, Anu Ochlim Chometz U'Matzah. Chometz represents Shtikel Gaiv. You know, it rises. Matzah represents, but it's not, sometimes Gaiva could be a good thing within reason. That's called Gaiva to Kedusha. That's the Pasuk of Divrei Hayyamim. Vayigba libo b'darchei Hashem. That you show that, you know, I'm proud. Jewish pride. I'm proud to be a Jew. I'm proud to be a Jew. Even in Golis, I'm proud to be a Jew. And Baruch Hashem, the generation we're living now, the old generation, many people didn't, you know, weren't able to wear yarmulkes. Even very frum people, you know, they didn't, weren't, you know, it was something that was not done, wearing a yarmulke, you know, some 50 years ago, or, you know, in the workplace. Today, you know, the advantage of the things that are more everything go type of attitude, so the Jews are much more comfortable wearing yarmulkes. That, so we have, you know, certain shtolts. So that's what the Chasam Sofer says. B'chol ha'leilos anu ochlin chametz u'matzah. That in the other Golias, we had the matzah because we had to be subordinate to the government, but we also had chametz. Means we also had the self-pride. But ha'leila hazeh, in Mitzrayim, kulo matzah. In other words, we didn't have the self-pride. All we had to do is subordinate ourselves to the Egyptians, and we didn't have that self-pride. And that was what we were lacking. Halayla hazeh, kulo matzah. And in Egypt, and Artikun, you know, is, you know, the Pesach, to have, you know, to have the hachna klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're not going to have, obviously, matzah, chametz on Pesach. But the idea is, but when are we going to have the chametz? On Shavuos. With Shavuos, we have the Shtei Halechem. The Shtei Halechem. The Shtei Halechem, even though, as Rav Shechter points out, we don't put it on the Mizbeach, but it comes conjunction with the Korban. The Shtei Halechem is the Chametz, because then we have the Gaiva, as Rav Blau said from Rav Gorelick, this idea that we have the Gaiva to Kedusha, that type of thing of having a certain, you know, pride to be a Jew. So that's what we need to have, even though we have to be respectful, and if we're in Golis, we have to be respectful for them in Amshala. But in Egypt, it was halayla hazeh kulo matzah. It was only of being subordinate, and we didn't have that self pride. Olias was chametz and matzah. We had this, the fact that we would be subordinate to the Umas Ha'olam, we had the matzah, but we also had the chametz. We had the guy with the kedusha. And in Egypt, we didn't. We only had being subordinate. We didn't have that pride of being a Jew. So Be'ezra Hashem, when we leave Mitzrayim, and we're going to go now to Matan Torah, and we're going to start Sfira, you know, right after the second day, we're starting again the count towards Matan Torah. And Matan Torah is chametz, because that's the Shtei Halachim. And that's that Shtoltz, as Rabbi Glasser, Rabbi Gorelick, and others that that's a pride to be Jew, not in a gaivdik way, but in a way of pride and a chrayus towards well, Israel. Okay, so I want to wish everyone a chag kosher v'sameach. We should have keep all our chagim and all our things, and Pesach is the time of mishpacha. So you know, to be together with mishpacha, and as we said, anyone who can invite anyone else in the community, you know, because the ikar of preparing for Yontif, the Zohar Kodesh says, is to make sure that there's no one in the community that's left out, being alone, and that's more so than Shabbos. Ikar halacha is Yontif. Is that idea of that's why the Reb Zusha says Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif LeOchel Nefesh Bilvad, which literally means that on Yontif you could cook and on Shabbos you can't cook. But the Rebbe Reb Zusha said Ochel Nefesh Bilvad on Yontif, on Shabbos you can have Ochel Nefesh alone, but on Yontif you can't have Ochel Nefesh alone. You have to make sure that everyone is there and accounted for. And that's the, and that should bring us the geula. Adir hu yivne beiso b'korov. We should have the geula shleima to the nochol sham and apsachim and hazvachim. Asher yagia doma mokir mizbachoch al ratzon and yivne beiso b'korov with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Acha kasher b'sameach.